Amen.
All right, so this morning we're going to start in Luke chapter 8. If you want to turn there, you want to get your phones and open up your Bible apps. Everything is on the event page, and you can follow along there. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is going to tell a parable. In fact, if you would get on the plane and go to Israel and go to the Sea of Galilee, there is a cove called the Parable of the Sower Cove, because that's where they believe that Jesus taught this parable. As he's teaching, he gives them this story. And in giving this story, I think he paints for us an incredible picture of what we're going to talk about this morning. So it's Luke chapter 8. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up, and it choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, if we just stop there at the story, we would see that the disciples, you know, they really don't know what happened, and they're going to come and ask Jesus because he just tells them this story. As the crowd is gathering, that a farmer went out and sowed seeds. They've probably all seen this. They might have done it at some point, but they said he's just gone, and the seed is not, you know, anything special. The seed is seed, and the seed goes out, and what matters is where the seed lands as far as what happens according to Jesus. Where it lands makes all the difference. And what kind of ground it lands on is what makes the difference of what happens to that seed. So the disciples hear this story and they're like, "Wow, Jesus, great story. Love it." We have no idea what it means. And, you know, it's easy to pick on the disciples, but at least they asked, right? At least they said, "Okay, we don't know. We want you to help us to understand what on earth this parable means. Yeah, we've seen this happen. We've seen this take place. But to know what it means, we really aren't too sure." And so look what happens next in this passage. So here it is. The disciples came and asked him what the parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see, through hearing they may not understand." Okay, so I'm going to help you to get this. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Okay, so now we know, okay, that's what the seed is. And what's going to happen, now the seed doesn't change no matter who it comes in contact with in this story. What changes is the ground it comes in contact to. So now he's going to help us to understand that ground. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Simple, right? If I take this seed, throw it out on the sidewalk here, nothing happens. Birds come out of trees, eat it, take it away. And he just reminds us that sometimes we have hard hearts. And what God wants us to know about the truth just kind of sits there and it goes nowhere. It doesn't penetrate, it doesn't do anything. It just kind of sits there and then it is swept away and we're back into whatever we're doing. It's very easy to read this, look at the hard soil, and go, "Oh yeah, I know people like that. I know people like that. They don't want to hear anything about the Bible. They don't want to hear anything about God." And so we just make that conclusion, right? "Ah, it's talking about those people." No, that can happen in all of our lives. There are always parts of following Jesus where we're just that hard, impenetrable soil that does nothing. What God's word comes and just does nothing. It no conviction, no, yeah, we ought to do this. We are convinced our way is the best way. We're convinced that what we're following is the best path. And so it sits there and it goes away and it does nothing. So he continues. The second one, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. they believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. So the seed falls in the right area, but it has no place to put down deep roots. And without deep roots, there is only so much growth that can take place. And so he's reminding us here, our roots are incredibly important. And the deeper we put our roots into who Jesus is and upon God's word, it changes everything in our life when we put down deep roots, deeper and deeper and deeper. And he's challenging us to do that. Is that what we do when we hear God's word, that we dig deeper? How do I apply this to my life? How do I make this a part of what God is saying to me? And how do I live and carry this out? There's still another soil. The seed that fell among the thorns are for those who hear, but they go away on their way, and they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Everything else comes up with it. And there's lots of other things that are competing for what is in that soil. Isn't it true there's a lot of things in our life that are competing for what is best for us? There are a lot of things that are competing. And if we are not careful, we just let everything grow up, and what God wants to do in our life gets choked out because we are giving so much to everything else. This is just a call for priorities. What's most important? What are you making first? What are you putting into what God wants to do in your life? And he just reminds us of this. He pulls us to this direction that sometimes, you know what? Yeah, we got growth, but we got everything else going on. And everything else is competing for our attention and our time. And if we are not careful, what God wants to do is going to get choked out. And we're going to miss what God wants to do. But then he said there is a good soil. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with noble and good hearts who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Do you get that picture that there is good soil and that good soil has an opportunity to produce something great if we will do just that, if we will kind of live that way? Deep roots, great growth, huge harvest. That's the kind of life that Jesus, in telling a simple story about a farmer going out and throwing some seeds around, was trying to plant in the heart of his followers. And that he knew years later we'd be reading these parables and we'd be figuring out, okay, how do I do that? And so part of that is the whole concept of what we're talking about this morning. That we have a unique opportunity, whether you've pictured this, that or not. And sometimes I don't think of it as an opportunity. But 11 months ago, we really were given an opportunity. An opportunity to hit a restart, an opportunity to recalibrate, and an opportunity to really find out who we are as a church and where we need to go and what we should be doing. And it was a chance for a restart. And sometimes we need that in our lives. We need to hit the restart button, start over, figure out what it is God wants us to do, and go in that direction. And so over the last 11 months, we've been asking you along the way of different decisions and different steps that we've been making. Because it's all about, okay, if this is an opportunity from God, that we don't want to squander it, we don't want to waste it, we want to use it. We want to fully use it as best we can to restart, be everything God wants us to be, and move in that direction. So this is what we want you to consider this morning. That this picture that Jesus gives of the seed that falls onto good soil produces deep roots, great growth, and a huge harvest is a picture that we want to use to actually be able to talk about at church quite often. And to talk about it, it's best even if we can just make the name it. And so what we want you to consider this morning, this is where I want you to take the handout you were given, is this picture of thrive. This picture of thrive. And I've got to stop because I got to really thank Sean, okay? For those of you who know Sean, Sean Darty, who, you know, was able to take what was in my crazy head and get a picture to it and get a concept to it. The tree is really important because the tree, as you will see, has exposed roots. Because the roots are everything. The roots start everything. And deep roots allow everything else to happen. And if we're not rooted, nothing else is going to matter. Because at some point, then anything could happen and anything could come along and boom, it's all over without deep roots. And so it all starts with that kind of picture that we want you to get in order to thrive. This is not just a restart button to, okay, how do we get more people and how do we, no. This is a restart button to what does our community need? What does our community need? And so the key verse out of all of this is John chapter 10. In John 10, Jesus used a different picture. It's another picture that they saw all the time, and it's a picture that you and I don't see, but if we could grab the concept of what he's talking about, it's incredible. That Jesus told them to look around and see the sheep. The sheep always had a shepherd because they needed direction, they needed protection, and so he tells them, in John 10, I'm the good shepherd. Forget everything else that you're following and come and follow me. And if you'll come and follow me, something very different will happen in your life. It says there's other shepherds and to follow them, and here's this verse, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. I know everybody else is living that way, Jesus would say. I know everybody else is doing that. I know it looks great. I'm just telling you, steal, kill, destroy. That's what it leads to. Following other shepherds, that's what it leads to. And he just calls us to say, follow me. Follow me. Because that's not the path I want for you. I want you to have this path of thriving. I want you to have this path where great things are happening in and through your life. So he says, those other shepherds that you're just tempted to follow because everybody else is, I'm just telling you, I know what their ending is. Steal, kill, destroy. They're going to take something from your life. My purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. In other words, I want them to thrive. I want my followers. I want people who are following me to thrive. Now, let me just stop right there because sometimes you read this verse and you're like, okay, so what does that mean? I follow Jesus and I have six-figure, you know, jobs and lots of money in my bank account, and we're like, yeah, that's not true. The picture of thriving when you read the New Testament, especially for those of you who've been in church of last few weeks in Corinthians, before that in Philippians, you got to think in Philippians, here's Paul sitting in jail in Rome. He is thriving. He's absolutely thriving. Now, how do we know he's thriving? Because we get to read what he's writing. He's writing about joy in a prison. That was Paul's, the way Paul lived. That following Jesus, didn't matter what the circumstances were in his life, it always led to thriving. When he was in Philippians, the first time ever, he gets thrown into jail, him and Silas, and what are they doing at midnight when the earthquake hits? They are singing. And it says all the people in the jail are listening to them. The jailer's listening to them. And that is a huge impact because they're like, what's wrong with these people? And all Paul is doing is taking a really difficult circumstance that he got in for simply talking about Jesus. And he thrived in the middle of it. It is not about everything goes well. That is not the gospel at all. That's a false gospel that's out there. Follow Jesus and leads to, you know, health and wealth. That's a false gospel. Following Jesus is so much bigger than that. And what Jesus says, you follow me, it leads to a rich and satisfying life. And so our mission that you hear me talk about all the time is that we want to lead people into a growing relationship with Christ. We want to lead people in a growing relationship with Christ. That in everything we do, we want to ask, are we helping people grow? Are we leading people to grow? Because unlike other growth, spiritual growth isn't automatic. It doesn't just happen because you show up at church or, you know, it just doesn't happen to you automatically. It is something you have to be an active participant in, what God wants to do in your life. And so as we do that, as we lead people into a growing relationship with Christ, because we all need to be led into that growth, it's about leading people into thriving. So what do I mean by this is good? As I said earlier, this is good for, this is what our community needs. So I'm going to read part of this because I want you to grab this with me for a moment this morning. That Indianola doesn't need another church, whether you believe that or not. It doesn't need us just to be a church like any other church. What Indianola needs is to thrive. Okay? Because Thrive is a church that is for their community. And in Thrive, we recognize the need to reach the nuns, the duns, and the undones. Now, who do I mean by those groups? Okay? For all of you who help and serve at camp, and for those of you who help on Wednesday nights, we have been able to, in a small section, reach some nuns. So when they filled out their camp form, when parents came together and filled out their camp form, and when it came to church that you're a part of, there was a nun. That's what I mean by the nuns. That they would just look and say, well, I'm really not part of any church. I'm really not connected anywhere. Really not sure what this whole Jesus thing is, but you know, camp's good for kids. It gives me a four-day break, and I really like it. Okay, so they're willing to do that. And they're willing to come, and they're willing to send them on Wednesday nights. And so you who work in those two areas, you know what I mean by some of the nuns. Some of you who are helping in those areas, you should know, oh yeah, I know some of those kids. They show up on Wednesday night, or they came to camp, and they're just part of this nun. They have no place. They have no place. They don't connect anywhere. And it's our opportunity to help the nuns connect somewhere. And again, they just don't want a church that does everything, you know, like it used to be. They want some place where they're going to connect, find out who this God is, meet him, and grow and follow him. And we can do that. We can do that. We can be that church that reaches the people who have no church. And that's probably a bigger group than either you or I could even think about in our town. We think in our town, there's lots of churches, right? There's lots of churches. I know most of the pastors, right? Oh, there's lots of churches. There's not. No. I'll tell you, we all struggle in some of the same things. So I know there's a lot of nuns. I know there's a lot of nuns, which means there's a whole lot of opportunity for us. But they don't need a church that just does churches normally. They need a church that's going to lead them in a growing relationship with Christ and ultimately help them to thrive. Who are the duns? The duns are people who did that, tried that, and are just done. They're just done. And they could be done for all sorts of different reasons. Sometimes they're done because of what happened. Sometimes they're done because of what happened to somebody else in the group, in the church that they were a part of. Whatever reason, they become a dun. They have circumstances happen in their life, and they just, I give up. God didn't do what I thought he was going to do, and I'm just done. I think there's a lot of duns in our town as well. Some of you sitting here this morning, you were part of that group at one point. You were a dun. I'm done with this thing. It's not working out. It's not going. God is very frustrating. You know, I just quit. You might have been part of that dun. And you found a place to connect. And I'm telling you, for the people who are done, for the people who have had bad experiences, for the people who have just lost a sense of connection and community, that we can be a church for the people who are done. But they don't need a church like any other church. They need a church that's going to help lead them in a growing relationship with Christ and ultimately help them to thrive in their life. So who are the undones? Our third group. The undones are people that because of circumstances in their life, they're facing either something tragic, something difficult, something critical, and the reaction to that has been to push away from their Heavenly Father. And whatever has happened and took place in their life just caused this spiral where they walked away. And it's really unfair to call them a done. They're just an undone. They have faced so much that they just don't even know what to think anymore about who God is. They just struggle with it because if there's a loving Heavenly Father that we hear about, boy, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't think I've experienced it too much, and I don't know about this. And because of that, there's just a spiral in them in which they are just undone because of circumstances and things that happen in their life. And what's really hard with the undones is just part of our culture. It's just hard sometimes to connect with people who are going through difficult things. Because you probably ask the same question I do. Hey, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? What do you need? Right? And you know what most people's response to that? I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Isn't that true? That's probably been your response before. It's been mine, but we're sitting here and we're trying to ask, we're trying to figure it out, and people are just like, nah, I don't need anything, because for the most part, they have no idea what they need. They have no idea what they need. So I'm normally not in my car long enough to listen to much on the radio, but I was a couple weeks ago, and I believe it was Lisa Turkhurst, and I really love her and her story and her ministry, and everything that God has done in and through her has just been amazing to listen to. And she was telling this story about somebody who was going through a difficult thing, difficult circumstance, and people in her church were calling them up, what can we do to help? Oh, I don't need anything, I don't need anything. And she said one lady in particular decided, you know what? If this was me, okay, she just thought, if this was me, I think I might want this. And so she showed up at the hospital and just brought something and gave something and said, whatever I can do. Because she showed up and tried to step into that, it made a huge difference. It made a huge difference. She did what everybody else had no clue what to do. She said, you know what, if I just go in there, open hands, what can I do? Here's what I think might help, and I've just come to help you. It might make a difference. The undones are really difficult. Okay, it's really difficult sometimes when people don't want help. And sometimes we just got to pray and ask God, okay, how can I help this person? I know they're struggling. I know they're facing difficulties. How can I help this person? And our Heavenly Father so often helps us to know what we need to do. But Indianola doesn't need another church. It needs a church for the nuns, the duns, and the undones that we are willing to reach and do the same thing. Help them be rooted, help them to see growth, ultimately help them to thrive. On the back of your handout this morning, there's a couple things I just want to remind you of and just kind of bring to your attention. That thrive is a constant process of growth where something is always changing and leads to flourishing. The problem we get to is at some point in our life, we just think, oh, we've arrived. Spiritual growth is not like that. Following Jesus is not like that. There's no just arriving, put it in cruise, here we go. Okay? God loves us too much to do that to us. So there's always Him prompting, Him working in us, Him bringing things into our life to stir something in us so that we ask, am I doing all right there? What can I do about that? How do I need to change in that? So I want you to understand, we are not talking about ever reaching a place. We're talking about continuing to follow who Jesus is and to let Him work in every single area of our life. It is authentic, it's intentional, it's grace-filled, and it is generous. Those are all things that describe thrive. Change is celebrated, encouraged, and promoted all the time in reflection of the change that God is producing in the lives of those who follow Him. That's why we change, because God is constantly working with in us to help us to follow Him even better. At the bottom of your handout, it used to be really hard to measure at times church statistics. This one is really interesting. This is an older one, but I want you to catch the idea. The 52 million people worship each week in 2005. The number we were told that was 132 million. Okay? We were told that was 132 million. It wasn't. Because what we found out is that people just showed up less frequently. And if you had certain Sundays, wow, it looks like there's a lot of people. It looks like there's a lot of people. But there isn't. And what most church leaders are talking about today, most people are looking out, is they're like, we cannot continue things as normal, as usual, because more and more people are drifting away from faith. They are making other choices and other decisions with their time and their resources, and they're finding other places to go put those things and to spend their time. So we don't need to be a church like normal. This is our opportunity to hit the button and to restart and see what God might do through us if we would open our hands and ask him to work in our hearts and lives, that we would help each other thrive, that we would ask God to help us thrive, and that we would be able to help our community find Jesus as well and thrive. So, to give you an idea of process, okay, here's what we would like to do. We would like to, in the next 5-6 weeks, have you affirm this direction. Okay? It means we don't want to hold a business meeting. We want you to talk to us and affirm this direction for us. Because literally, we don't want to wait. I don't think we need to wait till October. I think we have far other things to do, and this can be the next step. And so I want you to talk to me. I want you to talk to the elders. And I want you to give us feedback, because we would like for you to affirm this. You have precautions and questions. Yes, we want to hear those. Okay? But we want to move forward and launch in the fall that this is our name, our direction, and that we know there's even more to do to figure out how this works in all the programming and things that we do as a church, that we make sure we are doing those things. How are we doing with our kids on Wednesday night, helping them put down roots into their faith? Because if they don't put down roots, they will grow up, graduate high school, watch a YouTube video from an atheist, and walk away. And that's unacceptable in the church anymore, especially in ours. We can do better than that. We can help our kids put down deep roots into their faith. So it takes a lot more than some video to push them and pull them away from the God that they surrender to. So we want to help them do that. And we're going to have to figure that out in every area of our church. What does it look like to help you, to help our kids, to help the next generation put down deep roots, see growth, and flourish, and ultimately thrive? So I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning, and we're just going to ask God to work, help us understand, help us to see this in our own lives, to help us see this as a church, and then we're going to do our offering and sing together this morning. Heavenly Father, this morning I take no credit. I give you all the glory. Because I think you want to do something great in and through us. Father, some of us are smart enough to look around. We've looked around for the last few months and wondered about some people. Some are struggling. Some are facing difficulties. Some have just allowed other things to kind of grow up and take over. And you've called us to thrive. And I pray we would do that. I pray, Father, that we would hear from you. And we would ask in our own life, what type of soil am I? Where am I just pushing back? And I'm just that hard soil. Where am I just the shallow soil that doesn't put down very deep roots? Where am I the soil that just has everything else growing up to? And I can't flourish and thrive because I am pulled in so many different directions. Because we desire to be that good soil. where roots can go down deep, where growth can be great and a harvest can be produced. Would you do that? Because Jesus, our community does not need another church to do church like normal. We need a place where people be led into a grown relationship with you, where we can call people to thrive. So we want to do that. Help us to do that. Lead us, direct us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. The offering baskets will be going around as normal. We do have our PayPal thing set up if you have a card and want to run that. But we also do online giving. You can do it through the events page on the YouTube app if you'd like to. You can go to our website and